All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, horror author James Hershey Jr. That's fancy. That's Esquire. From Staring Into the Abyss podcast on Para-X, and he has a new show on YouTube called Paranormal News. Let's start with you before we get into any of this stuff. You know, how'd you get involved in all this stuff? I mean, you're into the paranormal. You're obviously a horror author as well. You know, what drew you into the weirdness? We all have our different paths. What was yours?
Mine began when I was a little child. Ever since I can remember, I've had nightmares every night. And like my nightmares are horrific. If you've ever read my novels, they are some of the scariest things you'll ever read in your life. People read them and don't sleep for days. They're that bad. And this is what I see every night when I go to sleep. I've never had a normal dream. Like I've heard people talk about having dreams where they go to school and they're not wearing pants or they're having a picnic on the beach. I've never had anything like that. Every night my dreams are blood and death and murder and just the things of nightmares, literally. That's where my novels come from. Every one of my novels is my nightmares. I pull them right from my dreams and put them on a page. And the way it works is I get a scene in every dream. So like tonight I'll go to sleep and I'll get a scene. And then tomorrow night I'll go to sleep, I'll get another scene. But they're not in any kind of order. They're all mixed up and all crazy. And this goes on and on and on until they begin to repeat themselves. And for years, that's the way it was. I had my first novel, I Am Legion, that whole series, that trilogy. I had those dreams for 10 years straight every night, over and over and over again. And they just kept repeating. And one day I was reading an article in Scientific American, because I'm a big nerd, man. I was like a Mensa kid. I did stuff for NASA. I'm a nerd. So I read like scientific journals and all that kind of stuff for fun. So I was reading Scientific American, and I came across this article on dream journals. And I thought, that's a cool idea. You know, maybe I can write down these dreams and somehow make sense of them and figure out why the hell I am being tortured like this every single night. Because literally I would wake up in the morning screaming and covered in sweat and scared to death. And it took several minutes before I even realized that I was in reality, that I wasn't in the dream. It was very, very crazy. And I wanted to try to desperately figure out what the hell was going on. Am I crazy? Is there something wrong with me? Why is this happening to me over and over and over again? So I'm a redneck mountain man. I'm not a rich guy back then. So I have no money. So I don't buy like a fancy dream journal from the bookstore. I get like a 25-cent spiral notebook from Walmart, right? And I start writing down these dreams when I wake up. And a crazy thing started to happen. I noticed that once I wrote the dreams down, they didn't come back. Like that particular scene that I wrote down never came back again. And I continued to do that until the entire sequence of dreams stopped. And it was replaced with another sequence of dreams, which became another novel. And that's how it's worked my whole life. I wake up, I write the stuff down, and it never comes back. And then once the entire story is there, it moves on to a new set of dreams, if that makes any sense. I know it sounds absolutely insane. And I don't blame you if you think this dude is out of his damn mind. Believe me, I get it. But this has been my life forever. So that's how I got into the paranormal, is I wanted to try to figure out, why am I in hell every night? Why do I wake up scared to death? You know, why am I afraid to sit in a dark room? Why is my life constant fear as a child? That's what I was trying to discover. That's how I got into the paranormal and started researching all this stuff.
Well, yeah. This definitely prompts the question of, did you figure it out and are you crazy? You know, I mean, you were saying like, I was trying to figure out, am I crazy? Am I out of my mind? Figure out what's going on. Did you figure out if you were crazy out of your mind and what was going on?
According to the shrinks, I am not crazy.
Oh, that's good.
I'm weird, but I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Weird I can work with. I've talked to tons of experts and I've gotten everything from that I'm doing a form of out-of-body teleportation kind of deal where I'm traveling to parallel universes in my sleep, all the way to like spirit writing and all. I mean, there's just so many different theories. I have no idea, to be honest with you, why it happens or what it is. In astrophysics, you have the multiverse theory. I don't know if you're familiar with the multiverse theory, but sure. Basically that theory states that there are an unlimited amount of universes, and they're stacked on top of each other like the pages of a book. And like the pages of a book, usually the ink from one page never bleeds over to the other pages. But in some spots, it's a little thinner than others, if that makes sense. That's why you hear of places where there's more paranormal activity than other places, because supposedly the veil between dimensions is thinner there, and it enables crossover. So the theory is that in those kind of areas, sometimes you will get bleed over from one page to the other. So one of the theories that I was given was that what I experience, I travel outside of myself when I sleep, and what I'm experiencing is actually bleed over from one of the other multiverses. That's one of the theories that was given to me by one of the paranormal expert people that I talked to. Do I believe it? I have no idea, brother. It sounds crazy. It sounds absolutely nuts. No. All I know is I go to hell every night when I go to sleep, and I don't know why. That's the only thing I know for sure.
This person who told you that, was the implication of what they were saying, was this that you were seeing into the other dimension, or that you were experiencing what was happening to the other dimension's version of you?
Essentially, I am a spectator. That's how my dreams work. I'm there. I can see. I can smell. I can taste. I can hear. I have all my senses. Everything is just like I'm looking at you right now. It's real as can be. I'm there. But I don't interact whatsoever with the dream. No matter how much I scream, no matter how much I try to help whoever's being hurt, I can't affect anything in the dream. I'm just a spectator there. They can't see me. I can't touch anything. I'm just a ghost, so to speak, in their world, if that makes sense. I can see everything that's happening, but I can't do anything about it.
Right. Right. Yeah, that is terrifying. You know, I've had very few dreams in my life that I remembered, but they tend to be nightmares. But I think that's because I woke up so quickly and I was just terrified. But the only dreams I tend to remember are nightmares. But I got to say, I can probably count them on both hands, the dreams that I remember. Yeah, that is wild. So when you were a kid, you know, I'm not looking to pick any scabs or anything, but I mean, did you have like traumatizing experiences as a kid? Were you exposed to a lot of horror? Were you, you know, all the things that one would assume might happen to a person who has these feelings when they're sleeping or in the dark?
Believe it or not, I grew up in a Leave It to Beaver kind of family. I have both parents. That's terrifying,
on some level.
we always hug each other and tell each other we love each other every day. I had a wonderful childhood. I grew up military. My family didn't even watch horror movies because, like, my mother, if she even hears the theme to Halloween, she has nightmares. So, like, we weren't even allowed to watch horror movies in my family. I grew up in the church. I mean, I'm not somebody that is one of those dark, twisted kind of people that had a lot of trauma or was abused. Man, I had a great life. I really did. I mean, there was nothing that happened that was bad, really.
Yeah, that is
what. Well, psychologically speaking, you know, nightmare syndrome is a thing, and it's nothing to do with trauma. It's just weird brain chemistry. But that's the theory, at least. Nightmare syndrome, I think, is, you know, we recognize this is happening. We don't know why. We have put a label on it, and now
it's one of those non-exact sciences.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's a real diagnosis, but it's, yeah.
Well, James, let's start out with your new show. I definitely want to talk a bit about Staring Into the Abyss, but let's start out with the paranormal news. So you've started a new YouTube show called Paranormal News. Tell us a little bit about this.
Essentially, the idea behind Paranormal News was, Staring is like one of the most well-researched and just most informative shows out there. And the reason for that is because I do hundreds of hours of research. I mean, I do this for, like I said before, man, I'm a nerd. I love to research. That's what I do. And I read hundreds and hundreds of articles that have to do with the paranormal. I read scientific studies. I read all these things. And it enables me to have a very wide amount of knowledge on a wide amount of topics. So the idea behind Paranormal News was, what if I could make a show where I present all these articles that I'm reading, at least the interesting ones, and put that out there for the people that want to watch it and want to be informed like that, because if I want to know about politics, there's multiple 24-hour news channels I can go to. If I want to know about sports, also multiple sports channels I can go to where I can find out about every draft pick and every little detail of every team. But there's really no place to go to find all of this news that has to do with the paranormal, because to find it, you have to go to all these little local news channels and local newspapers and all this and find witness reports of some granny somewhere that saw what she thought was Bigfoot in the woods behind her house, right? Those kind of things. Now, mm-hmm. I'm doing this anyway, right? I'm interested in this. I'm looking this stuff up anyway. So I thought, why not present all of this in the form of a video on YouTube that anybody that is involved with the paranormal, other hosts of other shows or researchers or anything, will have access to for free. They can just go and watch it, and it can serve as a hub of information for people, so everybody in the paranormal is more informed, if that makes sense. Because information is power, man. Information's great, and the more we know, the more informed we can be, the better. That's the way I look at it.
Right. How long is the show?
It varies. I try to keep it, because it's on YouTube, I try to keep it half hour, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, something like that per video. It could go hours. Who knows? I'm doing this week on Staring, I'm doing kind of a paranormal news episode of Staring, to where I put a bunch of the paranormal news stories on, and that'll be an hour. That's because my co-host Old Boy had a death in his family this week, so he's not able to make it for the show this week. So I thought it's a perfect opportunity to kind of showcase paranormal news and what it is, and for people to get a taste of it. But I try to keep it 20 to 30 minutes, because that's on YouTube, that's about all you can get away with. If you push an hour on YouTube, people kind of tend to tune out because they have very short attention spans.
Yeah. I definitely understand, you know, but and how often does this go up?
Basically whenever I make a video, it's absolutely, definitely, easily going to be a weekly show, but I put up 3 episodes and a special episode, so 4 episodes in the last 5 days. So I mean, it could be an almost everyday thing, it could be a once a week thing. It's basically whenever I decide to put one up. There's no real schedule because I don't have any contract with anybody that I have to stick to.
Right. Yeah, no, I get you. So let's talk a bit about Staring into the Abyss before we you know, start talking about some of these crazy news stories and some of these crazy topics that we all love so well. But, you know, what's the format of Staring into the Abyss? You know, what are you going for there that's different than the paranormal news?
Well, essentially with Staring, what the idea was for that show was I wanted to try to actually answer some of the questions that have been in the paranormal for decades. I grew up, I'm an old school guy, man. I grew up with Leonard Nimoy, In Search Of, Coast to Coast, those kind of shows where they're talking a lot about what's going on and they're actually trying to figure out a little bit why it's going on. What's the causes behind it? What's the reasoning? So with Staring, my idea was let's take a topic and let's really do a deep, deep dive on it and spend half an hour, 45 minutes just pure information, everything in the world that I can find on this topic, and let's try to answer some of these questions. You know, that's how the What Are Demons and Where They Come From show came about. It's because I actually had a question from a listener when we were talking about demons one time. They said, okay, well, what is a demon? And on surface, that's an easy answer. It's like, what do you mean, what's a demon, dude? Everybody knows what the hell a demon is. That's so easy. But when you think about it, you're like, wait a minute, what the hell is a demon actually? You know? So that's how that show started. That led to over a year of research of talking to priests and demonologists and reading the Bible cover to cover and the Book of Enoch and talking to Luciferians and all kinds of craziness just to find that answer. And then when I found that answer, not only was it the answer to that question, but it also unlocked the origin of giants, the origin of vampires, the origin of the Greek gods. It unlocked a lot of the old legends of different monsters and stuff that we've talked about. It all stems back to that question. And that's kind of the way it works for me. When I start researching something, I end up with more questions than I answer, if that makes sense, each time.
Oh, it definitely does on these topics. Go ahead, Kara.
I would like to hear about the vampires.
Yeah, well, if y'all have time, I can definitely get into it whenever you want to.
Yeah, let's get there, Kara. But we started with what's a demon. what's a demon? You know, I mean, that's where the deep dive was, you know, let's segue to the vampire from the demon. Did you get a definitive answer on what is a demon and where do they come from?
Exactly. I did. 100% I did. This all stems back to Genesis 6. Now, everybody knows the quote from Genesis 6. There were giants on the earth in those days. Everybody's heard that. But if you go a little bit before that, that's verse 4. If you go back to verse 1, you find out that there were fallen angels, right? Now, everybody knows about the fallen angels that left with Lucifer in the big battle in heaven because they didn't want to obey God. But there's another group of fallen angels too. These fallen angels left because they were assigned to watch over mankind. And they kind of dug chicks, man. They looked at the women and they said, hey, how you doing, right? They were interested. So they wanted to take them as their wives. The problem is an angel is not a flesh and blood creature like we are. An angel is a spiritual being. Therefore, they don't have a body. So they can't be with a woman. I'm trying to say this and approach this as diplomatically and nicely as I can so we don't trip any wires. They can't biblically be with a woman. So they have to have a physical body. Now, what that is called when a spiritual being has a physical body, when they leave being a spiritual being, turn into a physical body, that's called leaving their first estate. You'll hear in the Bible, it talks about the angels that left their first estate. That's what that means, is now they have a physical body. In order to do that, the only way that is possible is by drinking blood. That's how you leave the first estate, because the Bible states that the life is in the blood. That's why they command you to drain the blood of anything you're going to eat and put dust over it. You're not supposed to drink the blood of any creature that you kill that you're going to consume, because the blood is life. That is what was accomplished by drinking the blood. That is the origin story of vampires. It was the angels that drank human blood in order to have physical bodies so they could mate with human women and produce children. Now, those children were the giants, the Nephilim.
Go ahead. Quick question. How does a being with no physical body drink something's blood?
I have no idea. That I don't have an answer for you. I'm a guy that'll tell you when I don't know. That's what the Bible says happened. I don't know exactly how it took place, but it took place.
We will accept I don't know as an answer.
One way that's possible there is if you look at the old gods of Greek mythology, Roman mythology, all of that, as well as the Aztec gods, the Incas, all that, they all demanded one thing, blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
It could be that the reason they all demanded blood sacrifice is because the gods, quote unquote, those fallen angels, needed that blood to maintain their human form and survive. You see what I'm saying? That could be one way is how it came about. Maybe it was the old school, just slice you and dice you and drink you. I have really no idea. It doesn't go into great detail on that. But the children of the offspring of that mating of angels and humankind were the giants, the Nephilim. The original giants were like 500 feet tall when they were fully grown. Now, they weren't when they were born, obviously, because that would have ripped the woman completely apart. But as they grew, they got much larger. As time went on, they shrunk down. In the time of David, you remember the story of David and Goliath? Mm-hmm. He was around 12 foot tall. That's generally where the giants stopped, was in between 8 and 12 feet. And that range is where they kind of shrunk down to eventually. And that was because of the mating over and over and over again through the generations. But that is where the giants come from. Now, the giants being the offspring of an angel, which is a spiritual being, and a human woman, which is a physical being. Okay, mankind is a trinity, just like God. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Our soul is given to us by God. Our spirit is our consciousness, our mind, and our body obviously is our body. And a Nephilim, a giant, being a offspring of an angel, has a spirit. Being the offspring of a human has a body, but it does not have a soul, because a soul can only be granted by God, and they were called abominations in the Bible. God doesn't grant abomination soul. So they have no soul. So when they die, they can't go to heaven or hell like we do. Their spirit just roams the earth, looking to possess another body. That is what a demon is. A demon is the disembodied spirit of a giant, a Nephilim, that is the offspring of a fallen angel and man, well, woman actually, but mankind, That's what a demon is. Now, when you have a host body that it inhabits, that is called possession. That is that in a nutshell, basically. That's a very abridged version. You can listen to the show on YouTube if you want all of the scripture that backs it up and all the evidence. That's like an hour-long presentation. So I'm trying to do it as quick as I can for the show.
No. I'm liking this. All right. Let me put this out there. Okay. So when the angel, the spirit or whatever, drinks the blood, the term drink, you know, maybe it absorbs it. Maybe it absorbs the life spirit from the blood, whatever. When it does that, it becomes vampiric. When it mates with the human, it has a giant child. And when that giant child dies due to no soul, that soul roams the earth as a demon trying to find something to possess. That's what we're saying?
The spirit does, not the soul, because it doesn't have
right, one. Right,
yes, the spirit does. But it gets weirder. Yeah, it gets way weirder.
Good.
Because these angels did not just mate with human beings. They were rather randy. They like to do it with all kinds of things, all kinds of animals and stuff. Also, the Bible talks about that they mated with different beasts as well. So, here's my theory. You guys tell me what you think.
All right.
Now, this is not backed up by anything other than that little bit that I just talked about from the Bible, okay? That it talks about they mated with things. If we know that the old gods of mythology were actually these fallen angels that people were worshiping, that were demanding blood sacrifice, okay?
Right.
We also have creatures in mythology such as the Minotaur. Now, could it be that the Minotaur is the result of a breeding between a fallen angel and a bull? And that's the offspring that was produced. Could it be that all of those old monsters and all those old legends were actually reality, that they were based on the offspring of the fallen angel with whatever animal produces that? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If producing a offspring with a human creates a giant, what does the offspring of a fallen angel and an animal produce? It's going to be some hybrid of that animal with power.
Yeah, it's like Babe the Blue Ox at that point. So
if we're going with that, you know, then conceivably, the argument could be that these creatures experienced or existed in antiquity because that's when the angels were prevalent, but no more angels are falling since that time, so therefore we don't experience those creatures any longer, but they did exist in antiquity, but the way that we're experiencing them now is by disincarnate spirits that are demons that are basically going around being possessed. So somebody conceivably may be possessed by the spirit of what we call the Minotaur, but really it's just a demon possessing bodies.
Yes, in a way. And I believe that the levels of demons directly correspond to what it was. So the fallen angels, when they died, because they took on human bodies, so they could die. They could die a physical death and just become spiritual again. Those, I believe, are probably the high-ranking demons, the ones that are super powerful. The souls of the spirits of the giants, the Nephilim, those are probably your mid-level demons, because those are the second most powerful creature we're talking about here. The offspring with animals are less powerful. Those are probably your lower demons. The spirits of those when they died. Now, I believe, and this is backed up actually by some evidence, that not all of these creatures are gone. I believe that there are still giants that exist today. There are reports that came from Afghanistan when we were fighting over there of one of our platoons that actually went on patrol and came across a giant in Kandahar that was 12 foot tall, had six fingers, red hair, actually impaled one of our soldiers with a spear. They lit it up. It got taken away by a helicopter. I've seen interview on tape footage of the helicopter pilot and two of the soldiers that were in that platoon that testified that this actually happened. And now they're gone. Nobody knows where the hell they went, and you don't hear anything else about it. There's no record of it. I don't know if it was something that was just wiped or if it was something that was just made up. But if it was made up, man, it was done really well. I grew up in the military. I was Air Force. I've been on those helicopters. I know what all that stuff looks like. I know what those people do and how it's done. and they were to a T exactly like they were supposed to be. So if it was a fake, it was a very well done fake. I also myself saw footage during the rioting. This was not this set of rioting, but the rioting before with the hands up, don't shoot guy, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When that was going on, I saw on the news, I was watching it, a SWAT team get out of a big truck, and they got on the side of a Rite Aid. These looters were in the front of a Rite Aid getting ready to burn it down. And you had a SWAT guys lined up on the side getting ready to go around the corner and try to stop them. And they're all like normal SWAT team guys, around 6 feet tall, you know, just normal SWAT guys. Then this one SWAT guy gets out and walks up to the wall, and he is twice as tall as these dudes. I mean, he is huge. And I seen it live on TV. I'm watching it as it's happening. And I thought, oh my God, look at that. That guy has to be, if you think the average SWAT guy is 6 foot, is my thought on it. If that's the case, he's twice as high, because these SWAT guys only came up to about his waist. You're talking 10 to 12 foot. Even if you're thinking these SWAT guys are all 5 foot each, which would make him very, very short,
right,
to be doing that job, even then, you're talking about a 10-foot tall dude in full SWAT gear that got out and walked up and was standing beside them against the wall. And then they all ran around the corner together, and that's all you see of the video because there was no camera on that side. But, I mean, I've seen it myself. So there are a lot of reports that these things still exist. What I think happened is they were hunted and killed by David, King David, in the Bible. It talks about the battles that they had with the giants. These things were hunted down and killed for most of our existence, but there is evidence that they existed after the flood. And the Bible even talks about after the flood that they still exist. And what the game plan was, according to the book of Hanukkah, which is the book of Enoch, was that the purpose of the Nephilim was to pollute the bloodline of Jesus so that there was no heir straight from Adam to Jesus, if that makes sense. That's why they were around. That's what the book of Enoch is talking about. That's one theory of why they were.
Now, when you talk about the bloodline of Jesus, is this like a Sethian thing, like that Jesus and Seth were of the same bloodline and that the bloodline carried on after Jesus? Is this?
No, it's actually before. One of the prophecies that proved that Jesus was the Messiah is a straight bloodline all the way back to Adam. So he goes all the way back to David, all the way back through Abraham, all the way back to Adam. There's a straight genealogy all the way up to Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
Yeah. What I've
and
heard
they
of
wanted
this
to
is
pollute
being called
that.
Sethian.
Yeah, they wanted to pollute that Seth so that he could not be born, if that makes sense.
Right.
Once that failed, the flood came, wiped out the majority of them. That failed. So then it was a matter of them going into hiding and trying to survive until the end times, to where they could have another shot at the trophy, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know how that's going to end. You know what I mean? The Bible's very clear about how that ends. They lose.
Right.
But for some reason, they still think they're going to win. So that's the theory that I've heard. Now, keep in mind, when I'm talking about the origin of all monsters, I'm talking about the bloodline of Jesus. This stuff is all theoretical. Okay, this is not backed up by solid biblical evidence. This is backed up by bits and pieces of scripture and theory from different theologians over the years. We're kind of in the theoretical realm now. Demons and where they come from is solid biblical. That is backed up 100% by evidence and 100% provable. And if you want to go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/James Hershey Jr., find the episode of Staring into the Abyss I did called What Are Demons and Where Do They Come From? That is an hour-long presentation where I present every piece of scripture and every piece of evidence that biblically proves what demons are, where they come from, the origin of vampires, the origin of giants, all that I was talking about before, all that is solidly backed up by biblical evidence.
So you're saying that they hunted the giants, but unbeknownst to them, they basically unleashed demons by hunting and killing the giants.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, because nobody knew that, I can't say nobody knew, because God obviously knew, but as men, we didn't know, because we screw everything up, bro. We try so hard to do right and to be good, but we just screw up constantly. We're fallen, man. We're lost. That's why we needed Jesus to save us, because we can't do it ourselves. We keep screwing it up.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our halfway mark here. I definitely got some more questions for you. I'm enjoying this topic. I am a raging horror movie fan. I hate to admit this, that in the last decade, I've read about 5 books, one of which was Karis. I hate to admit it, I was raised in a family. I
I read for work, you know, I get off work. I'm just, but you definitely piqued my interest. I'm definitely interested now. All right, you're listening to author James Hershey, also host of Staring Into the Abyss and his upcoming YouTube. Already has five out there, so I guess it's not upcoming. A show called Paranormal News. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We got more. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest author, horror author, James Hershey. We're talking about, well, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about his YouTube show, Paranormal News, his podcast, Staring Into the Abyss, some of his horror writing, and a lot of sort of the history of monsters in their tie into the Bible. And so in the first half of our interview, we really sort of talked about the fallen angels in the sense of the fallen angels being the ones from the Book of Enoch, I think, that fell in love with man, woman, and made babies, and that this produced demons. The reason why I'm recapping this is because my next line of questioning is that a lot of us, when we think of demons, we think of like the servants of hell, and we think of the servants of Lucifer, yet our entire discussion went in the direction that demons really had nothing to do with the rebel fallen demons, and it was more the entitled fallen demons that just kind of wanted
fallen angels wanted to get it on
perfectly. Yeah. So is there a connection between the Satan side of this when it comes to demons?
The Satan side of the family.
Well, I mean, there are three sides. There are three sides. There's going to be the angels. There's going to be these angels that we're talking about. And then there's Lucifer. Is there a connection there?
The interesting thing is, a lot of what we know and believe about hell and about demons and all that kind of stuff, a lot of that comes from Dante. Dante's Inferno. It has nothing to do with the actual biblical text. There is no red devil with a pitchfork. You know what I mean? That's a creation of man. That's not biblical. Right. Satan has his own army of angels that left with him, that rebelled with him. The Bible talks about the devil's angels and God's angels. Okay, so when we're talking about the helpers of Satan, we're not actually talking demons here. We're talking angels. He has his own army of angels. Now, what happened to them and what happened to him? The Bible talks about how before the flood, Satan is actually dragged down to Tartarus with the angels that rebelled with him. They are chained under the ground in Tartarus until the time of the end times, when they will be released, and that whole biblical story plays out. I did an unbelievable end time series on the channel and on the show that covers every aspect of the Book of Revelations and every aspect of the end times, from the mark of the beast to the rapture to the tribulation period, all of it. It's really fascinating stuff, and it is 100% biblically backed. I provide scripture for everything. And it's the most informative series you're ever going to find on that topic. But those angels are not actually around. They're under the ground right now in Tartarus, chained until the end times. That's what the Bible tells us. People think of the devil hanging out in hell. They think of demons hanging out in hell with Satan. The reason they think that is because Tartarus is located underground. And there used to be a place called Sheol back in Hebrew times, before Jesus came, to where when everybody died, they would go under the ground, and the good people, the people that lived biblical lives and according to God's law, were in one place, and the people that didn't were in another place, and they could see each other. So you could actually look over and see people being tortured and stuff like that in that other place, and it was horrible. But when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he went down and he gathered up all the saints out of there and brought them up. So they emptied that area out. That is where the devil and his angels are kept right now, down in Tartarus. That's what the Bible says. So as far as hell and demons and all that kind of stuff goes, a lot of that we know is loosely based on what the Bible says, but it's not exactly what we believe it to be today.
So does that mean that there's no risk of any of us going to hell, that nobody goes to hell?
Oh, no, that absolutely does not mean that. In order to not burn for all eternity, mm-hmm. you have to be saved, basically. Now, people have a very weird misconception of what that means, what it means to be a Christian. A lot of people will tell you, and a lot of people think, and the reason why most people are down on Christians is because they believe that you have to live this spectacular life. You have to be perfect. You know, oh, you can't do that. If you do that, you're going to hell. It has nothing to do with that. Okay, I'm a pastor. Full disclosure, I am a pastor. Mm-hmm. I preach. The reason why we need to be saved is because we can't do it by ourselves. We're not capable of living perfect lives and not sinning. We screw up all the time. I am a pastor. I sin every day of my life. I don't want to, but I'm human. I screw up all the time. We all do. Just because I'm saved, I'm a Christian, doesn't make me any better than Old Boy, for example, my co-host on Staring. He is a pagan, okay? He's a witch. It doesn't make me any better than him just because I'm saved. All it means is I'm forgiven. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins and to pay for your sins and everybody on earth's sins because we're not capable of doing it ourselves. It's not about judgment. It's not about living the perfect life or I'm better than you. It's about love and forgiveness. It's about I will take your punishment so that you cannot burn. That's what Jesus was. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. People get that all screwed up in their head. And the reason why a lot of people that are not Christians are down on Christians is because too many Christians forget the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus was not judge this person because they're screwing up. The message of Jesus was love your brother and your sister as you love yourself. Every single one of us. I love you. I love Kara. I love my host. I love everybody. And it doesn't matter what you think of me. You could think I'm the biggest piece of garbage on the earth, and I don't care. I love you anyway, because that's what Jesus called me to do. I'm not supposed to judge you. I'm supposed to help you. I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to be there for you. It doesn't matter what you do and what you are. What matters is that you accept that gift of salvation, that he died for you. He paid that price. It's like, say you went on a crime spree, man. You got drunk as a skunk, and you just went ape crap, and you went and you did a bunch of really bad stuff you're not supposed to do. Now you got to go to court because the cops got your ass. You're in court now. The judge says, dude, you're facing life, bro. You screwed up bad. And you're like, ah, man, I know. I'm a screw up. I'm sorry, right? This would be like somebody walking in the courtroom and saying, judge, I will take that punishment for that person. Let them go free. Give them a chance. I will take the punishment upon myself, and they do your time. That's what Jesus did for us. He took our punishment. What he suffered on the cross and before was for us. That's what we deserve. That's what I deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve to burn. I am a sinner. I am a bad person. That's the way it is, man. We all are. We all sin. No one of us is better than another, man. We're all terrible. We all deserve hell.
This might be somewhat heathenistic of me, but it does back up my joke argument that I use all the time, and that is, because I love everybody, I'm not a Christian, but because I love everybody, hell, I'm a better Christian than most Christians, you know. But it does prompt
that's a funny question. Joke, but there is okay, truth to that, brother. There is truth to that, because a lot of Christians don't actually read the Bible. They don't actually follow the words of Christ. They follow what some preacher somewhere says who is trying to get you to put money in a plate.
Right.
We've lost our way. It's not about that. It's about love. It's about forgiveness. That's what it's supposed to be.
Now, here's the question. So you have to be saved to make it to heaven. And I get that. That's something that we hear a lot, you know. But is that like a personal choice? Here, let me put you on the spot. Your friend Old Boy, he is a pagan. He is not a Christian. Is he going to hell?
Yes. Unless he gets saved, yes. And believe me, that breaks my heart. And I have spent, and old boy would back this up if you spoke with him, I spent 4 and 5 hours a night sometimes talking to him, because we do our show, we pre-record it, and then we kind of just wrap afterwards for hours, and we talk. And he, on an intellectual level, understands and knows everything I'm saying is true. He just doesn't care. He likes the darkness. He likes that side of things. And I don't know how to stop that. I don't know how to help. I've tried everything I know. And it's like, I don't want to judge him, because he is a great person. He is a loving, wonderful person, but he's not saved. And the problem isn't that you're a bad thing. It's not that you're terrible. It's that you sin. Okay. God is righteous. He has to punish sin. And we've all sinned. Sin equals death. Sin equals hell. Every time. Jesus said, if you get mad at your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. Who hasn't been mad at somebody? We're all murderers. Jesus said, if you look at somebody...
4 years for sending people to hell then.
Yeah. Jesus said, if you look at somebody with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. Who hasn't done that? If you covet somebody's possessions, if you say, man, that's a nice car, I wish I had a car like that, boom, you're guilty. You see what I'm saying? Who hasn't sinned? We all have sinned. We all deserve hell. That's the problem. God has to punish sin. That's why he came in the flesh in Jesus Christ and took that punishment on himself, so that we could be blameless and go to heaven, so that we didn't have to burn. You see what I'm saying? It's not about if you don't do what I say, you're going to hell. It's that your sin has to be punished. He took that punishment for you. It's a gift. You don't have to do anything but accept it. All you have to do is say, thank you, I'll take that gift, and you're done. It's that easy. People think that you have to do a certain thing. You have to go to church 7 days a week. You have to get down on your knees. You have to eat the communion wafer. You have to do all these things. That's not biblical. That's not what Jesus said. That's not the truth.
Well, here's a part that like confuses me then, or changes what people have thought in this logistics lineup of let's call them rebel angels. Well, let's call them lusty angels and rebel angels and good angels. So that would mean that when one dies and they go to hell, seeing how Satan and the other rebel angels are chained up down there, that it's not the devil that takes you to hell, it's God that puts you there.
Essentially, yeah. God controls everything.
Right.
He's the big boss. People think that the devil has all this power and all this stuff. The only reason the devil has any power, the only reason evil has any power in this world is because God allows it. Because we have to have free will. We have to see both sides. We have to be able to make that choice for ourselves. We're not called to obey like other creatures are called to obey. We are called to choose. We are called to love each other and to make our choice. And then whatever choice you make, that's the choice you got to live with. And it's not too late until you're dead. Once you're dead, it's too late. You're screwed at that point. But all the way up until the second you die, you have a choice to make. You have that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice for you and to be saved. And it's really that simple. You don't have to stop hanging out and watching horror movies. You don't have to stop doing whatever it is you want to do. You live your life because you're a human being. You're going to screw up. I'm not saying go out there and sin on purpose to be a bad person. You try to be good because you want to be better. But you're going to mess up. That's life, man. That's the truth. Anybody that tells you that you can be a perfect creature after you're saved is lying to you. And believe me, I was a heathen, man. I grew up in the church. I fell away. I didn't want anything to do with God. My grandmother died of cancer. I was pissed at God. I'd have kicked God in his... if I could have, but I couldn't.
In his gonads.
I was mad as hell. I completely left the church, and then I died. And when I died, everything changed.
Huh.
Because what I saw when I died made me realize that God exists. It's true.
How'd you die?
I drowned. And this is a hilarious story. If you have time, I'll tell you. It's funny.
I'm listening, but it doesn't start out hilarious. I got to tell you, James. I died.
As I said, I fell away. Okay, so it's around 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm pretty drunk. I'm with a buddy of mine, the guy who actually does our theme song for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick up a couple chicks, and we're going to take them down to this place called Gypsy Falls, down here in the mountain where I live. And it, basically, it's this underwater spring that it has like a bad current in it, and it carries you up underneath the under the rocks. A lot of people have died there. But it's off in the woods, so you have to walk through the woods to get to it. Perfect place to take chicks skinny dipping because nobody's around, right? So that's the idea. I think I'm going to take these chicks down here to Gypsy Falls. We're going to, you know, get naked and go swimming and have a good time. This is brilliant.
I'm a teenager down there.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we're walking through the woods. It's dark as hell. Back at that time, there was no such thing as cell phones. You didn't have like flashlights in your phone. I didn't have a flashlight with me. So I think I've been down here a bunch of times. I know where I'm going. Follow me. So we're walking. I misjudge where I am. I think that I'm going to have to turn further up the path than I'm actually at. And so I walk right off the cliff. I fall off the cliff. I hit my head on the way down. I hit the water, and I'm under the water for about 15 minutes.
Whoa.
I was under the water so long that the chicks ran away.
Great.
They walked back to town. They were scared as hell because they thought their dad was going to find out that they were down here to get naked with me at the Gypsy Falls. So my buddy John,
better off that he's dead.
Yeah, no doubt, right? Not too great at chicks. My buddy is sitting up underneath a tree at the top of the cliff crying because he thinks I'm dead, dude. I've been under the water for a long time. Now, what I remember walking. I remember falling. I hit my head. I remember feeling not even pain, but a heat, like a real hot feeling on my head where I hit. I remember hitting the water and the water being so damn cold. And then my lungs felt like they were on fire, like I couldn't breathe. And it hurt so bad. Everything hurt, man. My head hurt. My feet hurt. Everything hurt. And it was cold, so cold. And then all of a sudden, nothing hurt anymore. There was no pain. And I was floating. I felt like I was just floating. And I looked around, and it was so dark when I hit the water because it's the middle of the night, and everything was bright. There was no darkness anymore. It was just bright everywhere. And I'm just floating there, hanging out. And I feel, I say feel because I didn't see, I felt something behind me. You know that feeling when somebody's walking up behind you?
Yeah, sure.
I had that feeling. There was somebody or something coming up behind me. Now, I hold a master rank in Kung Fu. I am a fighter. My whole life I've been a fighter. I turn and fight when I'm threatened. That's what I do. That's what I want to do in my mind. I want to turn and face this threat that I feel coming up behind me. I know something's behind me. I can't move. I'm just frozen. I can't do anything. I'm just there. I feel it getting closer and closer. I start to really panic in my mind. I'm freaking out. I'm scared to death. I want to turn and try to fight, see what the hell is coming up behind me. I'm freaked out. I can't move. The panic and the fear and the anger and everything inside of me reaches like a point where it's about to boil over. I feel like I can't take anymore. I'm going to lose my mind. And then I feel arms wrap around me from behind and hug me from behind and hold me. When that happens, every ounce of fear, every ounce of panic, every ounce of rage, everything negative I've ever felt in my life, gone, just drain away. And I was overcome with a joy and a love that I have never in my life felt before. I just felt like I was just bawling, crying. It was so amazing, that feeling. And the best way to explain it would be to tell you that I felt like nothing could ever be wrong again. Mm. Like no matter what happened ever, it was okay. Nothing mattered anymore. I was happy. It was just that kind of love and peace. And then I heard in my head, not out loud. I didn't hear any words out loud with my ears. I heard inside my head, "You have to go." And I knew when I heard that meant that I couldn't stay here anymore. I had to go back. I don't know how I knew that. I just knew it. And I didn't want to go back. Back sucks. Back there was pain. Back there was hurt. Back there was nightmares every night. You know, back there was living with the knowledge that I had a fight with my grandmother the night that she died when she went to the hospital and I never got to say I'm sorry. Back there hurt. I didn't want to go back. I wanted to stay right there where I was. I couldn't. I begged. I pleaded, I cried, I screamed, I threatened, I raged, I did everything in my power. Let me stay. I don't want to go. It seemed like forever. Mm-hmm. Might have been a second, might have been less. But it seemed like it went on for eternity. I was raging against this. I was begging and screaming and pleading and fighting. Don't make me go back there. And when I finally could rage no more, I was exhausted. I heard calmly again in my head, you have to go back. And then I came up through the water and I took a breath and then I threw up because I was full of water and I was retching onto the rocks.
Right.
And everything hurt again. My right. head hurt. I was covered in blood. My back hurt. Everything hurt. I tried to scream for my friend who was up by the tree. I could hear him crying. I tried to scream for him that I was here, that I needed help. But all that came out was, because I was jacked up majorly. Right. I managed to crawl over the space of maybe the next half hour, all the way up around the cliff, back up to the top. I say crawl because I couldn't walk. I was screwed up. I managed to crawl all the way back up there and about scared my friend to death. Because he did not know I was coming because it's dark. And next thing he knows, I'm there at his legs. And I'm like, help. And he's like, ah, you know. Right. And so he helps me back to the car. We go back to town. I go to the hospital. I get taken care of, everything like that. That is what brought me back to God. I had to die to come back to Christ. That's how dumb I am sometimes and how stubborn I was, that I was so angry and I was so lost and so full of rage that I couldn't see what was true. And I had to literally die to see it.
Right. Well, this really makes me think of two things. One is a quote from The Princess Bride where he says, life is pain, princess. Anybody who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you something. And then it also makes me think of my friend Phil. I used to put on these shows at the Red, White, and Brew, a bar in Reading. And he used to go off about how he like hated God and he was mad at God from the beginning of your story. And I said, well, you're mad and you hate God. And he's all, yeah. And I'm all, well, then that means that you believe in God. I mean, if you believe in God, you should probably get on the right side, man, because you can't be mad and hate something that you don't believe exists. He's all, oh my God, you're right. You know, it's like, you know, so, but I think these near-death experiences are probably the way a lot of people get there or find, even to go outside of the belief system, you know, because full disclosure, as you said before, you're a pastor, both Kara and I are a whole lot of nothing, but, you know, I think these near-death experiences help people find a clarity in their own belief and their own paths and their own stuff. And I'm glad you're still with us, James.
I am too. I think there was something I was supposed to do. You know, that's the only logic that I can, I'm a scientist, man. I was a scientist growing up. So I'm both. It's weird because I'm both. I'm a scientist and I'm also a pastor. You know what I mean? So I believe God exists. I know God exists, but also I believe in science. You had to prove it.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive as much.
No, but a lot of people think they are, but they're really not. You know, right. Science is just the unexplained. It's trying to answer the questions that we don't have answers to.
Right.
Everything is magic until science proves it's not.
Yeah, I think eventually. Sense. Yeah, I think eventually there'll be one instead of theology and science and there'll be one topic that is the way things are. You know, eventually we'll have one topic that is just the way things are. But unfortunately, James, we're coming up here on the end, and I want to be sure that we can get in some plugs for your stuff. I don't know. It feels shallow to say plugs after we're talking about all this deep stuff, you know, coming back to life and stuff. But, you know, as far as your writing, where can people find your books and get their hands on your books?
The easiest and cheapest place is Amazon, because okay. The books are on Kindle and they're in paperback and a couple of them are on Audible, I think. I know a couple of them are on Audible. I don't know if they ever put
them. I listen to
Audible. The easiest place is if you have a Kindle, they're like 99 cents on Kindle. Okay. So That's easy. The paperback version, you can either buy on Amazon, you can get it at Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, pretty much anywhere books are sold, you can find them. If they don't have them, they can order them. A lot of places don't carry a whole bunch of books anymore, so it's kind of a hodgepodge on whether or not they're in the store or you have to order them. But they can be ordered by your favorite bookstore, wherever it is. I have the Legion series. That's I Am Legion, The Surrogate of Souls, and The Rise of the Revenant. That's that first set of dreams that I had for the first decade of my life. And then my other novel is called Call the Wind Spirits, and that's a standalone novel. And then the YouTube channel, of course, is youtube.com/James Hershey Jr. That's where every episode of Staring into the Abyss is. That's where every episode of Tales from the Abyss is, which is the TV show that I do with my paranormal group. I actually go and I help people that are being attacked by demons. I have an exorcist that is sanctioned by the church on our team. That's a whole nother thing we can get into some other time.
I would love to have you on for that. That sounds like a
all great. Of the episodes awesome. Of that are on the channel as well. And then I have paranormal news videos, and I also do like gameplay and crap. I'm a gamer. I'm so many different things, man. I get bored very easily, and I move on. I was a Mensa kid, so I'm incredibly intelligent. My IQ is well over genius, so I get bored and I want to master something new. So I do all kinds of different stuff, but that's basically all the stuff. And then of course, Staring into the Abyss is here on Parax Sunday nights at midnight. And as I mentioned, every replay of that is on the YouTube channel as well.
And for those of you confused by what he just said, Radio Wasteland is also on Parax if you're listening to us on a different avenue. All right. James, thank you very much for being on the show. And we'd love to have you on to talk about this, sort of helping people. You know, of course, you'll talk about them anonymously, but we'd love to hear some of the stories about you going to help people with demonic issues and demonic possessions. That is something we would like to schedule. Stat. That's a good one.
Yeah, anytime, brother. Just hit me up.
All right. Well, I hope you had a good time, and hope I didn't poke too hard. You know, I like to ask some poignant questions, get them in there, but of course they're all with respect, and I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I'm an open book, man. I got no problem with any question. I'll answer anything. I don't care.
Great. All right. You've been listening to James Hershey right here on Radio Wasteland. Come to